Amen. Boy, didn't you enjoy that singing? Oh, boy, that's good. Good to see young people still getting involved in church and doing things for the Lord. And then good to see old ones alike. And boy, I tell you what, we appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today. I'll be honest, a lot of my preaching's done out west as far as the central time zone. I'm out there quite a bit. But man, I tell you, when I got the call to come out here into Harriman, 5 minutes away from the house, I thought, oh, that sounded good to me, and I appreciate familiar faces, and that's always good. And man, we just want to come and be a help for you, and just try to give you something from God's Word. Not much, but man, I just try to just follow this old-fashioned path. I'm just an old-fashioned preacher. That's where I cut my teeth at. That's in my DNA. That's what I was built on. And man, we're just going to try to do our best to give you what God's given us. And maybe if you're here and you're lost, man, you've heard it before, but man, you're a special guest today. I tell you, you're on the forefront. And as we see what's going on in our day, and as we see what's happening all around us, I just want to tell you, the Lord is soon coming. Okay? I've seen Bible prophecy fast forward over the last few months. And we've seen things happen, man, we thought we wouldn't see happen. Everything is lining up. And if you ain't ready to meet God, man, it's going to be a bad way for you. But I've got good news. He's still on the throne and he's still saving souls. And you're in a place where you'll be able to hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit's still drawing. So, man, let's just let loose and let God. Grab your Bibles, if you will. We'll be in John chapter number 4 today. If you're able and you can to stand for the reverence of reading God's Word, I promise you I'll be as brief as the Lord will let me. I tell them my messengers are usually about as tall as I am, so you're in good shape. You'll be doing just fine. But I just want to be obedient and I want to be mindful. In John chapter number 4, I'm going to read a good chunk of verse here, a good chunk of scripture here, just to give you what's going on here in the This is, of course, dealing with the water, the woman at the well. I'll pick up reading here about verse number 1 in John chapter number 4. Bible says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water of Jesus, to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast thou living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to you today and, oh, Father, we're so thankful. God, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. God, for all that you've done and how you blessed. And Lord, we thank you, God, for your sweet spirit, God, and how you moved. Lord God, we just pray, Father, Lord, that you'll touch us here. God, that a spirit of conviction will fall. And God, Lord, that us saints will be able to get some strength and some help. But God, Lord, we pray for that one lost, God, that you'll save them. Oh, before it's everlasting, too late. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. And it's in your name we pray and we ask it all. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I appreciate your reverence out to the reading of God's word. This is a story that happened, and it is a factual-based story that, my friend, we've all heard, and we've all talked about this, and we've talked about it in Sunday school. We've heard it preached. But as he's talking to this woman, I'm going to go through this, and we're going to go step by step on some of the things that happened as he was leading up to getting to this well. But as I read this and I thought about what he said, it come to me. In 2020, well over 2,000 and plus years from when this happened, there was a well that he spoke of that had those living waters inside of there. Waters that were able to satisfy the soul and were able, my friend, to do things for people that nothing else could ever do. So what happens in 2020? What about that well that he spoke of here? I want to preach to you on this thought of there's still water in that well. There's still some water in that well. We seem to think that in the day we're living that Jesus can't reach certain people. And he's not able to save like he used to. We see our altars not as full as they once were. And boy, we see where we don't see a move of God and we don't feel a conviction. And we automatically put it on Jesus' doorstep. And we say, why ain't you working? Why ain't you saving? Can I say to you that it's not his fault? See, we ourselves bring that spirit with us. A spirit that we cannot grieve. A spirit that is necessity for those lost souls needing to get born again. That spirit of conviction. It is something that we should not take lightly. Let me give you the story of what happened here. Jesus had left out. And before he ever met that woman, there's something that he said. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He said, you know what I got to do? Boys, you go buy meat. I've got something I got to handle in Samaria. That woman's still at home. She had no clue what was getting ready to get a hold of her on her way to that well at Samaria. Can I say to you, before we ever accepted God, he was on his way. He must needs go to where we were that we may be saved. I say glory. Yes, I'm an excitable preacher. Amen. So he goes. He knows where he's got to be. And he's there right on time. You take an hour one way or an hour another way. And you know what would have happened? That woman wouldn't have got her water. He knew exactly where we'd be, what we'd need, and when he'd have to be there. I say, thank you, Lord. So here he goes. He goes in. He sits down there on the well. And here over here comes a woman coming to draw about the sixth hour when it's the hottest time. Know something. She's here because she don't think anybody's going to be there. She thinks that she's coming to time where she won't have to deal, see, or be around anybody. Because most of them drew in the cool times of the day. They'd already drawn that morning. They'd already drawn that night for the day coming. So here she comes. When she sees Jesus sitting there on that little well, her first thought is, I've got somebody now that's going to be in front of me where I can't get to that worldly water. see people getting saved, first thing they see when we throw Jesus up right there, they see him as a block and a wall that they can't get to their worldly water. She ain't even heard about that living water yet. But what she did see is somebody that would prevent her from getting the water that she came for. When sinners come in, sinners do what sinners are going to do. They're going to hear us preaching about Jesus. They're going to hear it. My friend, they're going to see it. But my friend, I'm telling you, they're going to see that as a stumbling block to them. And they're going to see that as a barrier to keep them from him. Until he spoke to her. So she comes up. She don't say a word to him. Do you notice something? He spoke to her first. Man, ain't nobody going to get saved till he comes and speaks to you. I still believe in Holy Ghost conviction. 2020. I still believe nobody cometh unto the Father except they be drawn by him. Amen. That's how I got it. But if you're going to get it, that's how you'll get it. Well, what in the world does that drawing feel like? It feels like a fast heart rate. It feels like you getting nervous and wanting to get out of here, man. It feels like, man, I need to get out of this place and I don't know what's going on. It's something confronting you with who you are, and that's an old rotten sinner on their way to hell if you don't get a hold of the Lord. So when she walks up and he looks at her and he says, give me to drink. She says, you're talking to me? Can I just be honest? She thought it starts talking about her social status. You're talking to me? There's times that the Lord speaks to me and I look and say, man, you're talking to me? Somebody like me? Somebody as worthless and vile as me? Somebody deserving of the devil's hell? Lord, you're talking to me? But he don't care about your social status. He don't care about where you line up, my friend, on the popularity train. He don't matter. It don't matter to him on where you're at or where you live. What matters is you're willing to go after that water. So she looks. She says, how is it you're going to ask me to go in here and draw? How is it that you're going to ask me to do that? She said, look at me. I ain't got nothing to draw with. This well's deep. Let me tell you something. You can't ever go too far, too deep, too far gone, that the Lord can't grab a hold and pick you up out of the deepest, darkest pit and set you up on that rock, turn you around, establish your goings, and put a new song in your mouth. I've seen the worst of the worst. I've seen the best of the best that's come through. But my friend, once Jesus gets a hold, it's all level playing field. He saves them all. He's never lost a one yet. Believe me, if he could have lost it, he'd have lost me a long time ago. But he can't, because we're in his hand. You ain't going to go nowhere without him. He ain't going nowhere without you. So here he goes. He says, now, what do you want to do, lady? First, I want you to look at this. Let me get into this. You're going to find in this well, you're going to find some settled waters. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, he brought her to the place where she could only get that living water. There was no other person that she'd have been able to go to. There's no other well that she'd have been able to move to where she could have got that living water. I say to you, if you're going to get eternal life, you ain't going nowhere else but Jesus. That'll be the only place you'll ever get it from, honey. It ain't about works. It ain't about what you can do. It's about what he's done for you to attain that. And that's settled. I tell you what, it beats all I've ever seen anymore. As I go around and I preach from place to place, man, you'll find where people are, man, they're losing the fact that, man, our salvation is only built on everything about him. It is nothing in ourselves. Nothing. It is by his grace that he has saved us. That grace he extended us when we didn't deserve it. Do you think this woman, this outcast, this nobody, do you think she deserved to be able to go get some of that living? You think the world looked at her and said, you know what? That old girl, she deserves it. Get her to the well. Get her to Jesus. No, but he knew she was worth it. He knew that she was able to be able to get that water. He knew she was worth the wait and worth the miles traveled and going backtracking, getting to her. He knew it settled waters. Thank God it was saving waters. There's still water in the well that can save. Oh, the meanest of the mean, the best of the best, the good moral people, the old drunkards on the street. Man, I tell you what, they're still, my friend, saving waters. If a church loses their sight of sinners, if a church loses their focus on reaching out to sinners and them getting saved, I'm telling you what, it's a wash. We're not doing anything good for him. We've got to control this and have our conviction on that and want to see souls saved. We've got to have that. And that goes beyond just the local assembly. That goes to us as Christians. That's not just for the church. It's for us individually. We should be standing there at the well, ready to point them, ready to draw for them, and do what we can for them. You know what I'm talking about. You've been to the family reunions, and you've looked around at the table, and you've spoke to one of your family members and said, they ain't ever going to get it. Don't act like you haven't. We've all got them jokers in our family, man, that's come in, drunk and everything else, and come in that place out of their mind on drugs and everything else. And we look and we look down our nose and think, man, they ain't ever going to get it. They ain't ever going to get it. Those are the ones that he's waiting there at the well for. Those are the ones that he's saying, hey, you just bring them on back my way. You just bring them on down to me. I'll save them. What you think about something? When he got in that ship, after they fed the multitude, he told them, he said, you know what, I need you to get in the boat, boys. He told the disciples, I need you to go, I need you to go the other side. And boy, they got storms coming up and everything went crazy. And boy, he pushed them, he said, I need you to go. They had trouble even rowing the boat to get on the other side. Why was that important? Because there was people on the other side that needed Jesus. Man, they were half dead, they were sick, they needed him, they needed the touch. And if they didn't get that touch, man, they were done. But it took some people willing to get in the boat and row on and go on even when it didn't feel good, to go in and push and go to get Jesus to them. I'm saying to you, there's still water in the well. He's still able to save. We need to be getting them in. Man, something. When's the last time? Now, I'm not being mean. I'm just preaching. I love you. When's the last time you lost a meal over somebody lost in your life? When's the last time your appetite wasn't what it should, what it was, and it come down nothing more than you being concerned about somebody lost in your way, in your life? When's the last time you went to bed, and then the last thing on your mind was, oh Lord, I've got a sister. I've got a brother. I've got a father, a mother, a child. I've got this one on my heart that needs to be born again. I'm asking you to examine your own self. I want you to think about this. There are souls, as I'm speaking, that are falling off into hell every day. It can be one of our family members. It can be one of our friends. We've got the water in the well. We just got to get them to it. They're saving waters. Let me say this. There was also satisfying waters in this well. He told her, he said, here's what's going to happen. You go and you get some of that water that's in this little well. He said, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get thirsty again. Man, I know. You know how it feels. Be outside doing something. Man, you got a little, one of them little 16-ounce bottles of water. Man, you down that thing. Man, it satisfies you for about what? About 3 or 4 minutes. Then you know what you need? You need another bottle of water. He's trying to tell her the life of this sinner, the life of sin. He said, you know what? You may get filled for a minute, but you're going to be wanting more and more and more and more. It'll come down to that where you will just want more and more and more. He said, but, he said, if you just pull up to my well, Jamie said, if you just pull up where I am, he said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to put something on you like you've never had before in your life. He said, and what it's going to do is it's going to satisfy everything about your life. You're going to be happier than you've ever been. I could about run through that door. He said, you're going to be happier than what you've ever been in your life. He said, you're going to be fulfilled more than what you've ever been in your life. Oh, things that you used to think that you couldn't do without, now you don't want any part of. People in your life that you thought, man, I've got to have them there, you find where you don't need them anymore. He said, you're going to be humming different songs. Where all this other junk was in your head, now a song of amazing grace. How sweet the sound will be coming from your lips. He said, man, when I get a hold of you, you will never be the same again. I can think about when I got up. And I was just a 9-year-old boy when I got born again. But I can think about Sister Starter when I got up. And it was like the blinders, even on a 9-year-old boy, had been taken off. And I just saw things like I had never saw things before. Songs that I used to sit there and not got one thing from. Now they all had a meaning. They had a purpose in my heart and in my life. Testimonies from saints that I would listen to. And as a child would be like, man, I wish they'd just go home. You know what I'm talking about. But now, man, you hear them. And you feel like you could listen to them for hours. Just talking about how good God is. Why is that? Because now I know how they feel. I got satisfied with what he gave me, and now nothing else is going to do. The psalmist David, he said, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, you know what, I don't want for anything anymore. He just keeps providing and providing. But also, man, I don't want anything else. It's satisfying waters. It's serving waters. You notice something. After all this, and she takes this water, do you know something that happens? He said, you know what? He said, you go tell your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right, you've got a bunch. Now, I want you to understand something. This is how the Lord works. He didn't try to get rid of all that junk before he gave her the water. What he did is he put it in its right place. And he said, first thing I got to do, I got to get her in the water before I start trying to clean everything up in her life. I'm telling you what, you can shine a pig up all you want to, honey. Put a big bow on her all you want. But my friend, when it comes down to it, that thing's going to go back to the mud and the mire. It's still a pig. But you get somebody saved, all that'll start passing away. We want to clean them up, man. We want to get them all nice and sparkling. We want to put them in the choir before we ever get them saved. But Jesus, he addressed that. But they're serving waters. Let me tell you something. Is there days, but when I don't feel saved? Sure there is. Is there going to be days when, man, you don't feel it? Sure. Is there going to be days, man, where you wake up and, man, you don't feel like studying? You don't feel like going in the prayer closet. Why is that? Is it because I'm lost? No, it's because you still got this flesh on your body. It's a battle that you're facing. You've got two things warring together. One thing will be the Spirit telling you, I want to go. I want to go and I want to do. And then the other will be something where it will say, no, 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 no. You just put it off to the side. There's times, man, where it took a lot longer for that bucket to hit water than other days. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when you drop the bucket, man. Where you go to that well that he's put inside of you, man, and you're looking to grab some up to get you through the day. You're wanting to get some of that water and that spirit to get you through the day because, man, it's been a rough day. Coronavirus going on. You've watched the news too much. Can I just be a friend to you for a second? Let me tell you something. I know it's out there. I've got friends with it. It's true. It's out there. But don't make yourself miserable over this thing. Does that make sense to you? People are losing their joy in Christ over this. It's not worth, my friend, you losing that joy. Don't take the precautions. Do all that. But, my friend, it's not worth you being miserable. Devil's using that. So we go in, and, man, I drop that bucket. And, boy, I'm pulling her up. Oh, I can pull up just to get some of that water to help me serve more through that day. To get me through, to get me through that day. There's going to be days. There's going to be days where you drop the bucket and you're listening for water to hit. And it takes a little longer. You know what I'm talking about. But be patient, because that well that he put in you will never run dry. You just keep a dropping. I promise you, you'll hit water soon enough. I'm going to close. Finally, you'll find there to be some shouting waters in that well. Let me just be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? Here's what we've done. We have let the TBN Charismatics and all that stuff scare us to death about praising the Lord. We have think that they've got the corner on the market, that we can't. Amen. We're as embarrassed as can be. Let me tell you something. Man, heaven's going to be a pretty, pretty loud place. There's a lot of rejoicing that happens in that place. When you've got the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords there, man, there's going to be some action happening. I say to you, it's still good to be saved. It's still good to know Jesus. And I can still rejoice over that. Don't let some old dead Baptist tell you that you need to be quiet or you need to quit praising him, quit testifying, because I'm going to tell you something. You never know when that hand raise may inspire and help someone else. You never know when that word of praise to him may help somebody else down this life. Let's just be honest, church. You're in the process of trying to find a pastor. Man, you got to cling to him. Man, a whole hold on with every bit in you. I mean, he'll hold on to you. But don't lose your praise during this time. Don't lose your shout and don't lose your joy and your victory. There's still water in the well if you won't have it. Let's stand. As they come and get a verse of an invitation, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you a couple of questions, and then we'll move on. This is, without a doubt, I say to you, the most important time of this service. And it's not because you're getting ready to come home, but it's because of what it represents. I want to ask you something. Maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I don't think I've ever been saved in my life. I just need you to pray that I may be. At some point, the Lord will deal with me." Who raised your hand and be honest enough? Just say, "Preacher, just pray for me. I'm lost. I don't know what it's like to pull up to the well, and I don't know what it's like to go to that place, and I don't know what it's like to pull up to that well." I mean, "Preacher, man, it's been a while since I've dropped the bucket. I'm saved, and I know I am. But, man, I know I need to drop the bucket more often. There's things in my life that I need to shore up and things in my life that I need to make sure that it's right there on track. Preacher, I just need you to pray for me." I see that hand. As the Lord is moving in this place, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to say to you right now, you don't have to leave here worrying about what's going to happen in your life. Man, stir this thing up. I promise you, he will meet you there. He will be there for you. You've just got to ask him. You've just got to ask him. Let me ask you this. What in the world are you holding on to? So we've got some coming. What in the world are you holding on to?